Lord Jesus, bring revival to our nation. Amen. If you take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 4, verse 7, I think of all the churches, and by the way, we're on our next to last one, but I think of all the churches, this is the one that we maybe could identify with the most. There's nothing negative said about it, but that's not the reason I think we can identify with it. It's because of the truths in the passage. So Revelation 4, how about 3:7? 3:7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true one who has the key of David and who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one will open. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but behold, I will make them come and have them bow down before you, your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold for what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Much is communicated through a door, especially if you work in an office of cubicles. How many of you work in an office of cubicles? Raise your hand. Yep. Much is communicated through the positioning of a door. And in an office of cubicles, having a door is a status symbol. A closed door usually means that there's a meeting going on and you're not invited to it. A door that is technically open but mostly closed says, this better be good. And a door that is closed, that is open, says, welcome, come on in. Now, having raised a couple of 13-year-old daughters, doors can be slammed. How many of you have ever gotten mad and slammed a door and don't lie in the presence of God? Raise your hand. You know, our parents have had trouble. What do you do with a teenage girl or a teenage guy who slams their door? I have a solution. Take the door off for a couple weeks. They will appreciate that door so much more and they will not slam it because they have a little brother who will walk into their room at any time. Doors send messages. Jesus communicated through doors when he compared himself. He says, I am the door. I am the door. And God comes to this church and he says, I have opened a door that no one can shut. And I believe the open door is an opportunity for ministry. This is in the city of Philadelphia. We'll talk about that in a minute. The message is from Jesus. You see his character. He says he is the Holy One. That stands for separateness. That stands for otherness and purity. He is God. He is different. And then it says the true one. He knows truth. So when Jesus speaks, he speaks truth. When Satan speaks, Jesus said, he speaks lies. If Satan's mouth is moving, he's lying. And those are his darts. And what he tries to do is to get convince us that the lies he's telling us are true, like Eve, hath God said? We can trust Jesus. You see, he's died and come back. We can trust him. And then his control. He is the sovereign one. It says he has the keys of David. Now, if you want to study that a little bit more, you can find more about that in Isaiah 22, 22, and then, of course, Revelation 1:18. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is about access. It tells us that there is access to God through Jesus. It is Christ's gospel, and he is the way to salvation. He is the only way, and we have to be okay with that kind of exclusivity. He is it. I don't need 10 ways to lose weight, as the ad says. I just need one that works. I heard someone in a song recently say, we will all get there anyway. It is a lie from the pits of hell. You will only get into the kingdom of God, into heaven, through Jesus, and he has the keys of death and hell and heaven. He is sovereign. And he is the one who opens and shuts doors. There is the affirmation. It says, I know your works. I know your works. Verse 8. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. Now let's pause here a minute. An open door is an opportunity to minister in the name of Jesus and share with lost people that we know there is access to God through Jesus. And he tells this church, you have an open door. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the transition focus team is looking for. We are looking for the open door that God has for this fellowship. What door does he want us to walk through so that we can share the gospel and people can have access to God through Jesus? What door do we walk through? And we have to believe there is one. So we start praying, Lord, show, the transition team, the door. And then, Lord, give me the courage as a member of this fellowship to walk through it as they lead us. There is a door that God has opened. Charles Swindoll writes, Christ encouraged the church in Philadelphia with opportunities for ministry in the midst of trials. The church didn't realize the open door. As the geographical gateway to the east, Philadelphia sat at the crossroads of several languages, cultures, and people groups. From an evangelistic and missionary perspective, this dynamic, diminutive church had great opportunities for ministry. Now, I want to ask you some questions. Is this building here by accident? Did somebody flip a coin and say, let's put it here on Harvard? Or do you believe with your whole heart that God led the people who came before us to sacrifice and serve and give and work so that this building would be in this place? Do you believe that? Amen. Now, if you look around this building, we're kind of like Philadelphia. There are lost people everywhere. And it occurs to me that God put this building here so that we could be used to reach them. Now the issue is how. Not what. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. As you walk around, you may see all nations. That's who we're supposed to reach. The question is not what. The question is only how. I love that image of an open door that reminds us of opportunities. But let's face it, folks, only God creates opportunities. Just like only God creates waves. Isaiah 51:5. We can learn to watch for them and we can learn to ride them, but we can't create them. Only God can. So we are asking God to show us the open door He expects us to walk through. And it will change our lives. It will change our lives. He said to this church, you have limited power. You have unlimited obedience. And you have limitless commitment. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the church that God's opened doors for is a church that may have little power, little money, but with unlimited obedience and limitless commitment, God can overcome limited power. And He will do incredible things for us if we will obey with full commitment. And this is the time. And then He says, if you do, I will humiliate your enemies publicly, and I will keep you from the hour of trial. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, one of them means He's going to take this synagogue of Satan, who says they're Jews and aren't, and He's going to make them come and bow before them at their feet. He's going to humiliate the enemies of the church. But secondly, He's going to rapture the church before the tribulation. He's going to take it out 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, if we had time, I'd go and explain to you what that means and how it goes, but that's not the purpose of today. But if you want to read 1 Thessalonians 4, you will read about the rapture, the fact that the Lord's going to descend and those who are in the graves are going to rise up, and all of us who still are alive will be caught up together with them in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. That's happening. It can happen today. I've asked the Lord not to come back unless I'm in a cemetery, because I want to see the graves pop open and people go north to be with Jesus. Since that's what I'm going to do for you. Folks, we worship the living God. He is unlimited. And then to the assembly he writes, I am coming soon. We've been waiting for that for over 2,000 years. I think what soon means is there's not one thing that has to happen for Jesus to return. Not one. And I think he could return before I finish this message. And the issue is this. If he does, will you go with him? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to forgive your sins? Are you his son or daughter? He says, I'm coming soon. But then he says to individual believers, now watch this. There's going to be a permanent place in the presence of God. I'm going to make you a pillar in the temple of my God, and you're never going to have to leave. There's coming a time when we will live in the presence of God and never leave it. And we will not feel guilty, and we will not feel ashamed, and we will not fret, because all of our sins have been forgiven and cast as far as the east is from the west. We will just bask in the presence of God forever. And then he says, there's a special inheritance. Now, let's read this. I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. And if you read on through Revelation, you will find out that the New Jerusalem is both a people and a city. The New Jerusalem, like this church, is both a building and a people. Now, I know we hear all the time, the building is not the church. Well, I'd beg to differ with you. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. When you drive by, what do you call this? It's a church building. But then the life of the church building is the people who make up the body of Christ. That's what gives us life. So he's going to write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I'm going to give them my new name. The names signify who my God is, where is my home, and who is my Lord. I belong to the Father, heaven is my home, and Jesus is my Lord. I bear the signature of God on my life. I will write on him the name of my God. I want to say that again. I will have on me, I will bear the signature of my God. He's going to sign his name to my life and yours because of what Christ has done. David Platt writes, "This, we remember, is the great reward of the gospel, God himself. When we risk our lives to run after Christ, we discover the safety that is found only in his sovereignty, the security that is found only in his love, and the satisfaction that is found only in his presence. This is the eternally great reward, and we would be foolish to settle for anything else." He will write his name. He will write his name on my life. You know, there is a passage in Philippians I would like for us to read. So if you'll turn to Philippians, I'm sorry. That's not Philippians. Or it might be. Colossians 4, 2 through 3. Colossians 4, 2 through 3. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Let me challenge us. Let's take Colossians 4, 2 through 4, and make that a daily prayer for our church. Lord, open us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ to a lost world. Lord, open the door. Why were open doors vital to the Apostle Paul, and he says it other times? Because he learned the value of a human soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What if he got the whole world? You see, when you drive around this community, you see a person. God sees a living soul, and Jesus died for him. Jesus died for her. And he loves her, and he loves him as much as he loves you and he loves me. Because he knows the value of the gospel. The gospel means the difference in living in heaven forever or hell forever. And because he knows the value of God's love. When we become Christians, we bask in the love of God in our lives. Become effective. So why is it important for Sequoia to recognize and walk through open doors? What are some reasons why we should do that? Because that's what I'm challenging us to do. Well, the first one is we want to honor and complete the sacrifice of those who have gone before. We want to honor and complete the sacrifice of those who've gone on before, and I have met many of them on a Monday night. But some of them are with the Lord. And we need to honor their sacrifice, their commitment, their work, with our commitment and our work and our sacrifice. We want to honor those who've come before. Second, we value the love of God. We value the power of the gospel. And we value each and every individual around this building. Thirdly, we want to accomplish the purpose God has for us. We want to accomplish the purpose that God has for us. And that's not hard to figure out. He said it clearly. Go ye therefore. Or really, he said, as you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We must do our part to accomplish the Great Commission. And remember, it won't be easy. It won't be easy. It depends upon God. But we have this incredible promise in 2 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Now listen, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Ladies and gentlemen, everything you do in this building, every service you offer, every person you share the gospel with, everything is done for Jesus. Everything has to ultimately lead to people coming to know Christ. Everything. And we cannot be satisfied to go months and weeks without seeing someone come to know Christ. We have got to be a Great Commission church. And we have got to put evangelism and missions on the front burner. And that's what the transition team is going to figure out how to do. And I'm excited to see what God does with our open door. Amen. Have I scared you? All of you who've committed to be on the transition team, and there are 14 of you, we will introduce them, plus a few more, I hope, next Sunday. Now they start to meet Wednesday night. And let me tell you, here's what they're going to start doing. Well, I better not say what they're going to start doing until the others say yes. I don't want to discourage them. No, what they're going to start doing is writing a letter to this church. We're going through 7 letters. They're going to write the 8th, and it's going to be Sequoia Hills. I know your works. And they're going to pray and talk to God and say, okay, where are we? And then they're going to pray and say, okay, God, where do we go from here? It's going to be an exciting time in the next few months as we see God do incredible things. Okay? I wish I could open up for questions, but I might not know the answers. So, if you had any questions, you can talk to me. Linda and I are going to be gone on August the 18th, Is that a Sunday? And I've asked Pastor Rodney to come and speak, who was your former pastor. He will be here. I think it's very important for us to connect to the past as we try to forge our way into the future. Okay? They may have made some mistakes we don't want to make. And they may have done some things right that we want to do. All right? God bless you. We're going to stand and sing an invitation song. We're going to sing one verse of an invitation song. And the reason we're doing this is if you've never received Christ, I want to give you an opportunity. He is the only way. He has the keys of death and Hades. And I just can't preach this message without offering you an opportunity to come to Christ. So you guys come on while I pray, and then we'll sing. Father, thank you so much for your presence today. I pray that your word would challenge each and every one of us, and that, Lord, this church as a whole would join hands and walk through any open door you give us. We are excited, Lord, about what you're going to do in our midst. In Jesus' name.